Great Mother's Day last week. My only question for you is, where were you? Evidently, you all visiting your mothers, because you aren't here. But I do want to say that for you moms who weren't able to be here, we're not picking on you. Hell yeah, but I'll get over it. For you moms who were here, we have a neat little devotional book that we would like you to have. I didn't bring them up for someone to pass them out to you, but I would like, on the way out of church, they'll be on the stand there, and it's just a nice little daily devotion for you, ladies, and we would love to have you take one, because we want you to have one if you haven't already received one. And if you know a mother that you think would be encouraged by one, we want to give them out. We don't want them to sit in the church because they don't do any good here. So, having said that, let's get going in our sermon this morning. And, it seems like, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, maybe it's just something that I'm going through, but it just seems to me that everything is going faster and faster. Things seem to just be spinning, and from my perspective, things seem to be spinning out of control. We know that there's upheaval in all around the world. There's always some nation that is fighting some nation. There's always some nation that is threatening to do worldly harm. There are terrorists now that are not confined to, we always just think of terrorism in the Middle East. Well, it's not confined to the Middle East. It's spreading all over the world. Things are just seems like they're spinning out of control. And I don't know about you, but it's like, I would just love someone to put a stop to it. And just kind of, slow everything down. But probably that's not going to happen because, if you've been in the Revelation class with Dean, I honestly believe that we're getting closer. Of course, that's a real brave statement to say. Of course, we're getting closer to the day when the Lord comes. But I think it may be soon. I don't know. Of course, I heard a sermon like this when I was in high school, and I'm still here. So we don't know what the Lord has in store for us, and it doesn't seem like we know what direction really that our country is going in anymore, or really we don't know what direction the world is in going in anymore. I just thought it was this. There's a passage of scripture that I love in the Bible. It's a very simple passage of scripture. It's one that probably most Sunday school kids learn, memorize when they're in Sunday school. I know it's one that I have memorized, and it's out of the book of Proverbs. And as I was reading through Proverbs, I looked at this passage, and I looked at another passage, and I'm thinking, boy, this would be a good book to study, wouldn't it? The book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, this wise man, who granted made a lot of stupid mistakes in his life. But the book of Proverbs is there's so much wisdom in there for us today. And I think a lot of times today that we tend to want to throw the Old Testament out. Because we're living in a New Testament era. We're after Christ has come, and yet we cannot do that because there are it's God's Word. And the Old Testament is just as much God's Word as the New Testament is, and it's just as much important to us today as the New Testament is. And so I think that oftentimes we make a mistake by getting stuck in the New Testament and not going back to the Old Testament and looking at some of these very rich passages of Scripture. And the book of Proverbs is just full of little snapshots of wisdom in there. And we're going to look at one today. One that, again, is pretty familiar to most of us, but it just, it suited me. It, it just suited my, where I'm, my, my frame of mind, just with everything that's going on around me and around us in this world. This passage of scripture just calmed my heart. And so I thought, well, if it worked for me, maybe it'll help you out too. You know, I think maybe God's telling me here, something here. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Again, most of you could probably quote those with me, these two verses with me, without even looking at your Bible, although we probably all quote it in a different translation. But let me just read that for you, because, again, it's a great passage of Scripture. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Let's pray. Father, what a simple passage of Scripture, and yet, Lord, it's so profound, and it's so healing, and it gives so much peace and comfort. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as you have spoken to mine this week through this passage of Scripture. Lord, open our hearts now to receive your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very simple passage of Scripture, and it's very straightforward, but I think it's a passage of Scripture that we oftentimes just forget about. And we don't think, especially, again, when times get tough, when things are confusing in our world, and I think things are very confusing in our world. I really don't know what direction to go and what to do and what, you know, and I think a lot of you are in that same boat, especially as we're looking at a presidential election year. I've heard more confusion this year on the election than I've ever heard, you know, and so it's like, what is going on? Well, I can't tell you what's going on, but I know who does know what's going on, and that's God. And so, in light of knowing that God knows what's going on, we need to look at this passage of Scripture again and really put it to heart. The first thing that he says, and as I look at this passage of Scripture, there are three things we need to do and a promise in this passage of Scripture. Three things we need to do and a promise at the very end of it. And the first thing that we need to do is, and again, it sounds simple, and we say it, trust in the Lord. You know, isn't that simple? Trust in the Lord. Of course, let me add in the rest. With all your heart. Okay, so what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? You know, it's not something that just is mentioned here in the book of Proverbs. Psalms 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Now, I like that. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Where do we go today for refuge? Where do we go? It seems like everything is just being turned upside down. But God is our refuge. We need to trust in Him. Psalm 91:2 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." I will trust. I know we say that. I say that. I trust God. Well, who can I trust in this world? Well, I can trust God. But is it just something that I'm saying? Is it just a religious phrase that I throw out there because I'm a Christian, so of course I trust God? But am I really trusting Him? Am I really allowing Him to work in my life? Am I really saying, "Lord, I know that You are capable of taking care of me. I know that you are capable of taking care of everyone in this world. I know that you are ultimately in control. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put all my trust in you. And I'm not going to trust other things. In Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Now, I think a lot of times we look for individuals in our world to right things, to make everything right, to make things better. We look at human beings. And granted, God does use people to accomplish His work. But it is far better that we trust God, not anyone on this world. Now, that doesn't mean we look at everyone with a suspicious eye. Well, I can't trust them. I can't trust them. No, it means we put our hope, we put our faith in God and in God alone, because He is the one that is above it all. You know, I look at it, you know, and I'm a guy, a preacher who lives in a little town in eastern Washington. Who am I? You know, I can't do anything about national politics. I can't do anything about the world situation. And that's probably pretty sound thinking, because I can't. But God can. But God can. So I'm not going to trust my abilities to do things, but I am going to trust in God to accomplish what He wants. I'm going to put my trust in Him, not in politics. That's a great subject right now. Everyone wants to talk about politics, but no one has a good answer for anything. But we sure like to talk about it. But I'm not going to talk trust in politicians. I'm not going to put my trust in people. I'm not going to put my trust in the wisdom of anyone in this world. I'm going to put my trust in God with all my heart. That means I put it there and I leave it there. I trust you with this, God, but I don't trust you with this. I trust you with this, God, but I don't trust you with this. No, it's a all-out thing. The Hebrews believed that the heart was the center of the person. It was where our soul dwelled, where our being is in the heart. And so to trust God from the heart, that means we trust Him from our innermost being. There is no doubt that God is going to take care of us. We may have some doubt about what's going to happen, but there is no doubt that God is going to take care of me. I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And then there is a great passage of scripture in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Now listen to this passage of scripture, because it talks about what happens when someone trusts in the Lord. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will it cease to yield fruit." Now, you know, growing up in where I did in Oregon, in the country, we had a little stream that went through our farm. And next to that stream were the biggest, grandest trees that you can imagine, because their roots went down and they were always watered by that little stream. And those trees were huge, huge trees. I mean, we got big trees here with folks in Oregon and the Coast Range. Those trees are humongous, and it's because they have the moisture. And you know, I looked that I could be like one of those trees that withstands the wind, that withstands the heat, that withstands the drought, because my roots are deep. Well, that's the way anyone can be when they're in the Lord, when their trust is in the Lord. It's like having roots in fertile soil that has all the moisture, and we will be trees that can stand through anything. And it says, and will not stop bearing fruit. Will not stop bearing fruit. That is what the person who puts his trust in the Lord is like. We need to put our trust in the Lord with all our heart. Trust Him. He can handle everything that's going on in our life. And the next thing that we need to do, and I know it's not good grammar, but we need not trust in our own understanding. There should be a two in there somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, but and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now, I know that we like to think that we know a lot. You know, that we know a lot. I am well-versed in a lot of things. But I really know very little. I just like to think I know a lot. I just like to act like I know a lot. But really, my knowledge is kind of minute. I mean, you know, just again, a very simple example. What happened, example? If my car starts making a strange noise, well, actually, all my cars all make strange noises, but a stranger noise than usual, I don't open the hood and start taking things apart. Now, I know some of you farmers are very capable of doing that. I am not. I do not have that knowledge. I open the hood and look at it and say, the motor's still there. And that's about as far as my knowledge goes. I can change the oil. I can put fluid in the little windshield washer squirty thing. And I can check the transmission fluid. I don't know if I did it right, but I can do that. That's it. So if my car is doing something that I cannot understand, I take it to someone who can. I take it to a mechanic who has far more knowledge than I do. See, I don't lean on my own understanding, because my own understanding just basically tells me that it's broke. And I take it to someone who knows how to fix it. But yet, in our own lives, do we do that? Do we trust in our own thinking, our own reasoning, our own wisdom, our own abilities, rather than calling upon God to help us? In the same chapter of as our text in the book of Proverbs, just a little farther down, in verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Now, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't gain knowledge and you shouldn't learn and you shouldn't try and you should. Don't get me wrong here. This is not I'm not telling you that we should be nothings. No, we don't think. God gave us the ability to think, gave us the ability to reason. But we are not God. I know we like to think sometimes we're God, but we're not God. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. You know, there's another reason that we really shouldn't trust ourselves, because we have a bias in our heart. I mean, we have things we like and we don't like, and a lot of times the things we don't like are good for us, and the things we like are not good for us. So we have that going on in there. God knows what is right for us. And so, should we trust in our understanding, or in God's understanding? Going again to the book of Jeremiah. I don't think I've ever quoted Jeremiah so many times in a sermon as today. Of course, I think it's only twice, but still. In Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not a mighty man boast in his might. Let not a rich man boast in his riches." See, we like to think we're self-sufficient. We like to think we can take care of ourselves. But we shouldn't lean on our own understanding and our own abilities and our own wisdoms and our own knowledge. We need to look to God for these things. And the reason that we need to do this, look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And this is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As far as the heavens are above the earth. How far is that? Okay, have the scientists found the ceiling of heaven yet? Of the heavens? No. No, it just keeps on going. Well, that's how much more God knows than we do. The distance from earth to the ends of the heavens. That's how much more God knows. So, do you want to trust in your finite thinking or in God's infinite wisdom? It's interesting. I mean, and I am as guilty as sin. I don't know where that phrase came from, but I do this. I do this. I think about how I can solve a problem. I think about, you know, I ponder things, and basically I don't come up with any answers, and if I do, they're usually the wrong answers. Because I am so limited in my ability to solve problems, and yet I consider myself a problem solver. I really do. And yet God is the ultimate problem solver. He knows the answer. This is because He also knows the outcome of our lives, and He knows what's best for us. You know, Paul picks up the same theme in Romans 11, verses 33 and 34. He says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways. For who can know the mind of God, or who become His counselor?" We like to counsel God. We like to tell Him this is what we think should happen. Instead, we need to say, "God, what do you think we should do?" Not, "God, what should you do?" You know, there are people who believe that in prayer we can tell God what to do. I don't do that. And I don't believe that. I want to listen for God to tell me what to do, because He is so superior to me in the ability to think of the outcome of what's going to happen in my life. Plus the fact He knows what's going to happen. Because He is outside of time. He knows the present, but He knows the future. So He knows how I'm going to react to something. He knows what's going to happen to me. But in knowing that, He knows what's best for me. And so His decision, His counsel in my life is ultimate. I mean, how would you like to go to a counselor here on earth and have them tell you exactly what it is that you need to do. Exactly what you need to do. And if you do it, you will be just fine. Now, there's very few counselors that are worth their salt that would admit that, that wouldn't admit that they can't solve your problems like that. It doesn't work like that. Because they don't have the knowledge. But God does. God has the knowledge. And in comparison to the wisdom of this world and God's wisdom, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. It says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." You know, again, we like to think that we're wise on our own ability and on our own account and with our own wisdom and with our own knowledge because we are so gifted. And yet, in God's eyes, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Okay, so we need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We need to not trust in our own understanding. And then the next thing that we need to do is to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge God? What does it mean? I mean, by being here, we are acknowledging God. Because why else would we be here? We're here to acknowledge God, to say thank you to God. We are here to praise God. By our presence here, we are we're giving testimony that we believe there is a God. And so we are acknowledging God as we come here and do this. But do we acknowledge God in all the parts of our life? Because what it says here, it says Proverbs 3:6, the first part, he says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." In all your ways acknowledge Him. I think we like to divide up our life. I know I do. I like to divide up my life. This is my spiritual life. And this is where I acknowledge God, and this is where I pray to God, and this is where I ask God to help me. And then this is the life I live when I'm not at the church. It's not a bad life, don't get me wrong. But it's a life that, well, I can handle this, God. I'm going to take a little bit of burden off your shoulder, Lord, and I'm going to handle my affairs here. But it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." That means in your spiritual life, in your work, in your play, in the decisions you have to make in your business. Acknowledge God. Put Him into it. Give it to Him so that He can work in your life, in all your ways, in everything. Don't pick and choose what you're going to give to God and what you're not going to give to God. Give Him everything. Give Him all of your life. If you think that God is not interested in your business, He is very interested in your business. If you don't think God is interested in what you do on your vacation, God is very interested in what you do on your vacation. He's very interested in you and in your whole life. And in all of our life, we need to acknowledge God. In everything we do, we need to acknowledge God. Now in 1 Chronicles 28:9, David was giving his son Solomon some advice. And he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father." Know God. Know the God of your father. "And serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever." Acknowledge God. Seek God. Look for God. Not just in your spiritual walk, but in your, well, your life should be your spiritual walk. There shouldn't be any division. There shouldn't be a two-part person. Our life should be one, and it should be spent seeking God. In Philippians 4:6, Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Now, again, we see this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, all inclusive. There is nothing that goes on in your life that God does not want to know about. Well, he knows about it anyway, so you might as well talk to him about it. But he cares about everything. He cares, and so we need to acknowledge him. We need to come to him in prayer, asking him to be a part of our life. In James 1:5, James says, "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, this is just one thing. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Again, acknowledge that there is a God. Acknowledge that you have a weakness and that you're going to give it to God and that you believe that God can fix that weakness. You believe that God can work in your life. It's just not saying, you know, kind of doing this, the name-dropping thing. Oh yeah, I trust God. Oh yeah, I follow God. But do we truly trust Him? Do we truly acknowledge Him in all our ways? In all our things? Or do we hold this out? It's like, well, this is my part, this is God's part. We can't do that. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge God. We need to give it to God. We need to know that He's there, that He's in control, and that He cares and wants to be a part of our life. And if we do that, we come to the promise at the end of verse 6. We read, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." And He will make your paths straight. That means you won't be going here and there and wandering here and there, but your path will be straight. You won't be wandering all over the place. You won't be like the Snake River. You know, when we first got here and we went down to the Snake River, I shouldn't tell this about him because he isn't here to defend himself. But we drive down, you know, and you kind of, you break over there, where's the river? You know, you don't see any river. And you go down, finally we see the river. And the first thing that Ben asked is, where are the snakes? It's Snake River. So it just, you know, he thought it was named because there were snakes in the river. But if you take an aerial view of the Snake River, it doesn't go straight. It goes this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. It just winds its way, and it's dug itself this great big gully now, or valley, or whatever you want to call it. But it doesn't go straight. You know, you go around this corner, and it just, and you go, you can look down a little ways, and then it goes that direction. It doesn't go straight. But our lives don't have to look like the Snake River. Our lives can be straight. That means we don't veer off to the right or we don't veer off to the left, but we go straight the way God wants us to go. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." If we commit our works to the Lord, He will keep us on the right path. Jeremiah 10:23, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. If we want to stay straight, it's not in ourselves to do that. If we want to go the way God wants us to, it's not in our ability to do that. We need to trust in God. We need to not trust in our own understanding. And we need to acknowledge Him in all our ways. And when He does, our path is straight. But if you want to make your path straight on your own, it is not within you to do that. Isaiah 26:7 says, "The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level." Straight. You know, get this idea of just this, you know, I'm a freeway driver. A lot of people say, "Well, how come you don't go this way?" Because I like freeways. I like freeways because generally they're straighter unless you're going through Montana. At least the western part of Montana, that is by no means straight, or southern Oregon. But you get into California, and I'm telling you, straight freeways, or actually, get into the Dakotas, or the Midwest, where, you know, the biggest hill you'll come to is an overpass. You know, it's talk about straight roads. They are straight. And I kind of get this envision that God will do that with our lives. He will make our lives straight. That means we won't be bouncing off the walls. We won't be going up hills and down hills. We won't have these emotional highs and these emotional lows. Because God can make our path straight, our life straight. And not just our spiritual walk, but our life. Our work, our play, our hobbies. He can build all that into one straight path when we give it all to Him and allow Him to work in our lives. Psalm 5:8. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Make your way straight. God wants to make our way straight. He wants to make our way straight. And when I say that again, don't take it that I'm saying that He wants to make our life easy. Because following Jesus Christ and following and believing in God in this time and age in our world is not an easy thing to do. It's not. If you're looking for something easy to do, don't pick being a Christian. It's not easy. There's going to be some hard things, hard choices you're going to have to make. And you're going to be like a fish swimming upstream in a lot of ways. But God will make your path straight. You will know where you're going. You will see the joys at the end of that. And you will know that you are being, you are in the company of the Almighty God who knows the end of your path. And He knows the best way for you to get to the end of your path, and He's willing to guide you in that. But we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. You know, if someone gives you directions to a place, you need to trust them. Because if you say, "Well, I don't trust them, I'm not going that way," then what good does it do? See, if we say that we believe that God can lead us and make our path straight, but we don't trust Him, then how can He do it? How do we? If we are always taking ourselves out of His care, how can He do it? If we trust in ourselves, then we will be doing this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Because we don't know the way. And our understanding is flawed. And do we truly acknowledge God? Do we truly acknowledge our God? In all of our ways. In our work, in our play, in our spiritual time, in our time of relaxation, in our hobbies, in everything that we do, do we truly acknowledge God and that He is in control and that I need to give myself to Him? Because if we do these things, He will make our path straight. And we will know where we're going. And we will know how to get there. Again, will it necessarily be easy? No. But God will be there to help us. Let's pray. Father, we need someone so desperately to trust in that we can lean on, that we know is going to make wise decisions, that we know is going to make decisions that are truly in our best interest. Father, that individual is You. I pray that You will help us to totally give You our trust with all our heart. That we wouldn't trust in our own feelings and our own understandings and our own emotions and our own wisdom, but we would trust You and lean on You, acknowledging You in everything that we do, Lord. And Father, thank You that in this day of crookedness, in this day of perverse paths that this world is following, Lord, You will make our way straight. Lord, thank You for this promise. Help us, Lord, to do these things that we may know that You are leading us every step of our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.